Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello, this is Mac, and you're listening to Mac's Musings. Of course, that is all. Hopefully, since Talk Radio is, of course, once again, giving me a hard time. So, let's try to call my guest, and his name is Dave Castellano, and I will try to call him. Just bear with me while I'm dialing. Don't leave. He will be on soon, hopefully. Dialing now. And hopefully he'll be up in a minute. Please don't leave. This thing has been giving me such trouble. Please stay
Hello?
With me. Hello. Hello, can you
hear me? Oh, I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, I can.
Okay, good. Sorry about this, but I need to turn my sound down. So you're going to hear a little noise there, but yeah. You're like really, really
loud. You're a little broken up, but I can still understand what you're saying.
Yeah, that's Blog Talk Radio. Unfortunately, there's nothing I can do about that low quality, the low quality of their online thing. I can't do anything about that, unfortunately. Yeah, I wish I could.
Well, it's actually better now. It's better than when you first called. I can actually hear you much better now.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Okay, so to get right to it, since hopefully we are online, because usually when we can hear each other, we are. I did already introduce, and I did say Castelloni.
You're absolutely correct.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay,
yes,
so where
very
I want
good.
Now, I don't know where other people start, but I wanted to start with, in 1990, you did Hungry, and I know,
yes.
I know that it was released in 1994, and I also noticed that you founded Sharky Video in 1994. Was that so you could get Hung Jury released?
No, that was actually a coincidence. Hung Jury was the first movie of many movies that I did for Wave Productions, which is really how I got into the shot on video business in the first place. I actually had to audition for that role back in 1990. I answered an ad in a local newspaper and found out about these guys in my home county that actually made movies and were following the dreams that I've always, had. So that's how Hung Jury came about. And we spent the whole year, I think, 1990, different parts of the year shooting that movie. But it wasn't my movie. I was actually just an actor in that movie. And it took them a long time, I think, post-production and delays. It took them a while to finally release it, but it just kind of coincided with me forming Sharky Video in 1994 when they released it. So that was purely coincidental.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like a happy coincidence.
Yeah, it was. And as a matter of fact, one of the producers at Wave, he's no longer with the company, because Wave is still making movies to this day. I mean, they've definitely shot, hundreds, I want to say by now, hundreds of titles. I haven't worked with them in quite a few years, but Sal Longo, who, has since moved away and has not been in the business for many years, he actually offered to co-produce my first movie under the Sharky Video label, which was also in 1994, and that was Love is a Stranger. So that was actually my first feature that I made on my own.
Oh, wow. So now I wanted to mention something that I don't know if other people mentioned, but I'm going to. I see that
Sure. You
specialize in underwater photography. So I love underwater photography, so I'd like for you to talk about that a little bit, if you will.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that, too, because that's, that started early on as a dream of mine. I actually was swimming before I was even 1 year old, according to my parents, and just amazed people of my ability to swim and jump, you know, off the edge into the pool at a really young age. And then I kind of grew up watching these underwater adventure movies, being fascinated by them. And I didn't really, I was actually pretty young when I got the first inclination that I wanted to make movies. I was only 6 years old, and my father took me to see my first PG-rated movie, The Poseidon Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And after I saw, oh my God, when I saw that on the big screen, at 6 years old, I just was totally blown away. And that's actually was when I instantly decided I wanted to make movies at that age. And so I was obsessed with anything underwater. And it wasn't really until I got older, you know, my teenage years, that I thought I would actually become a scuba diver and, you know, just explore my love for, being underwater and hopefully maybe one day make a movie that might feature some underwater elements. And you know, that's what I ended up doing eventually for my final movie, which was Deep Undead, for the final Sharky Video title, that is.
And what was the name of that one you just said?
Deep Undead, which actually was completed. It was completed originally in 2005. We never really got distribution for it. It was the last movie that I did under the Sharky Video label. But since then, there was new interest in my movies. As of 2017, I had a couple people interested in distributing again for me, and I decided to reissue that movie and actually shoot some new scenes for it. So it's all finished. It's been finished for almost a year. It's right in the hands of a distributor, and hopefully will be released later this year. But that features a lot of intensive underwater photography, and you know, it's a pretty much underwater themed horror movie, more or less. So that was a lot of fun.
Well, good. I'm glad you had fun on it. And I love those kind of movies, so I'll be looking for that one.
I can't wait for you to see it. It was a big, big production for me and a lot of other people.
So did you just act it, or did you love it?
In that movie?
Yes.
Yeah, I did. I did a little bit of everything. I was the writer, the producer, the director. I did act. I took a pretty small part in that movie because I had so many, you know, hats to wear.
Right.
It was very, although I loved, don't get me wrong, I loved every minute of it. It was a lot of work, and we shot the movie over, like originally when we were shooting it back in early, 2001 to 2005, it took us pretty much 4 years to get all the scenes shot that we needed to complete it. So it was a lot of, a very, very large cast, a lot of actors and divers who really weren't actors that were doing stunts, and just a lot of combination of different types of people, and just everybody was great. It just was hard, scheduling was a big challenge, as it always is in these low-budget movies, because everybody has full-time jobs and does this sort
right.
of thing on the side. So, yeah, it was a really big undertaking for me, and it was so rewarding, though, to get it finished, and especially now it's finally going to get an audience, so I'm super excited about that, and I hope that people enjoy it as much as I enjoy making it.
I'm sure they will. And if you think about it, shoot me a little Facebook message when it's ready to come out, because I want to make sure that I can watch it.
I certainly will. I certainly will. And I'll send you a screener, too, so that I'll make sure you get a copy.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I don't know
sure.
what all, because we've only been Facebook friends for a well, and I don't know what all Phil has told, Silverman, which everybody loves. I don't know how much he's told you about, you know, what I do, but I am a sort of professional. I don't call myself professional because if I did, I'd have to pay taxes on it, for one thing.
Oh, but I, yes.
I do movie reviews. So mainly when I do them, like if I get quote-unquote contacted to do one, I get sent like a gift bag or something, which they can't really quantify. I get away with that because I know I can because I actually talked with someone at the IRS. So I know that how I do this is okay.
Sure. Well,
yeah, it's not illegal.
No, absolutely.
The reason why I bring it up is because if you want me to, now I will gladly do a review on it. I could do one on IMDb, you know, Rotten Tomatoes or whatever you want.
Absolutely. I would love that. Whatever you are willing to do. I mean, this movie, you know, has probably given me the drive to do as much promoting of any movie that I've ever been affiliated with, it, only because I put so much work and so many years, you know, of going into the movie. And here I was last year, you know, back in shooting new scenes for it and doing post-production, remastering the whole thing from scratch. So it was, you know, a lot of time, a big chunk of my life spent. So I absolutely would love for you to do that if you're willing to do it.
Oh, yeah, because I've written reviews for lots of people. Even and don't take this wrong when I say even. It's not that you're not famous, because you're famous in your own right. Sort of bigger names. And sometimes they're not always pleased with what I say. And I lost one friend from the review I wrote. And it's not that I trashed the movie, because I don't do that. I don't say I like a movie if I don't.
Right, absolutely.
But what I will do is I find things that I like about it. Like, say if I end up not liking the movie that we're talking about, which I doubt that happened, but I'm sure I could just go on and on and on about how great the underwater photography is. So there you go. There's going to be...
Well, that's awesome. And yeah, and I appreciate that. And I absolutely would love an honest review. And I learned a long time ago that you got to take the good with the bad, especially doing these kind of shoestring budget productions. You know, not everybody is going to be a fan of everything you do. And I actually believe negative comments are just as good, and in some cases, even more helpful than the positive ones, because some people actually want to see that movie based on how bad somebody else thinks it is, which is weird to me. But, you know, I've heard that time and time again through the years, that, you know, negative things. Good publicity.
Well, from being I actually for a while was professional and was getting paid. And so I am known by some people. It's just that I use a pseudonym, but a lot of people know my pseudonym, so they know that it's when I write it, and then that's why they pay attention to it. But from doing reviews and being a critic, I know, because I felt that myself. I've looked at somebody's review, and I thought, well, they trashed this movie. I'll probably love it. And then I watch it, and I do. I love them. And then the opposite,
right.
Sometimes I love the movie and I think they're crap. So, but when I write reviews, I don't write that something is crap. I've never done that. No. And a lot of critics do that, and I think that's wrong to just say, oh, well, this was a crappy movie. When you review a movie, you need to look at all the too many aspects. But a lot of the bigger aspects, like you look at the acting, the directing, the editing, the music, and different things like that. And if they have special effects, then count that in too. But if it's a low budget, I take that into consideration. If the special effects are, they got low budget. And I've seen a lot of low budget movies that looked a lot better than big budget movies. So there you go.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go off talking about myself.
No, not at all. I'm interested here, and I'm glad to know, because I knew a little bit about you through Phil, but not a whole lot. I'm just recently got acquainted with you, like you said. But no, that's interesting, and it's great to hear. But yeah, I should probably give you a little bit of background, I guess, in that case of the movie too, about Deep Undead, because I actually got the idea for it back in 1988. I worked at a nuclear power plant.
Wow.
And I was already a certified diver. I did wreck diving was my specialty. I got advanced certifications in wreck diving and deep diving. So I was an avid diver just for sport. Before I started making these movies, I was doing that. But when I worked out at this nuclear plant, I met some commercial divers, and they were telling me all kinds of horror stories about working at the nuclear plant, diving and radioactive waters and things like that. And that's what actually gave me the idea to write the movie. So I was writing this movie, a couple of years before I even started acting in any of these movies. So this was probably the first script I had started working on for a shot on video movie. So it really goes back, like I said, a lot of years, and it wasn't really until 2001 that I actually started shooting it. But I rewrote the entire movie because it started out as a really complex murder mystery. And when it came time to, do pre-production on it, there were so many complex action scenes. I just didn't know how I was going to do it. I said, you know what, this is crazy. I'm never going to be able to do this. So I rewrote it to be more of a low budget monster movie, kind of like a throwback to the 80s, like Roger Corman style movies. So I just kind of made it easier to shoot that way with the rewrite. It just was, some of the things I never would have got to do with the budget I was, working with. So that's how it came to be, really.
Yeah, well, that all sounds real interesting, and I do look forward to seeing it. So I want to move on, though, as long as it's okay with you.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, one thing that I see on here is Psycho Charlie. That seems to be like a series, because there's Psycho Charlie,
yes.
And then there's Psycho Charlie Returns, Part 1 and 2, and then Psycho Charlie's Revenge. So tell me about this Psycho Charlie franchise.
Yeah, well, these were all titles that were shot by Wave Productions, produced by Wave Productions, and Psycho Charlie, yeah, I think there might even be a couple more that's not on that page. Because we did quite a few of those videos. It started out with a little bit part, and I don't know how much you know about Wave Productions, but they're based out of South Jersey. They were really big in the 90s on shooting shot-on-video custom movies, and they would have customers finance the movies with their own script or story idea, and Wave would produce them, and then if they liked it enough, they would end up distributing it, which most of the ones that they made as custom movies for clients, they did end up distributing them. That's how they made so much money. But Psycho Charlie started out as a short custom tape, probably only about 20 minutes long, if I remember right, and it was called Psycho Dance. And one of the producers, this, again, Sal Longo, he was the one that played Psycho Charlie. And I come in at the end of that movie as the policeman who saves the day and rescues the surviving victims of Psycho Charlie. and then my character kind of grows as the series, goes on. With Psycho Charlie, we have one where he convinces himself he's a vampire. So you might see that title listed there, Psycho Vampire. That was another one of the Psycho Charlie
series.
Yeah,
I didn't realize it was in the same series as Charlie.
Yeah, it's actually, it is. So yeah, the character, it was pretty much standard, stereotypical policeman. It wasn't anything memorable by any means as far as my character goes, but I did get a lot of screen time because it was such a, big series for Wave. So a lot of people, know me from that character, which is odd to me.
Well, whenever you play a police officer, and it goes for women as well, not just the men, but women as well, people remember those uniforms. We women love men in uniform, and men love women in uniform. So, we're going to remember that. We'll forget everybody else that's in that movie, but we'll remember.
Right.
I remember that guy.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, I never really thought of it that way. But, yeah, I guess that's a very good point.
Well, that's one way to look at it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I saw a movie, and I won't say the name, just in case, because I don't want to get in trouble with anybody. But I'm sure you'll know the movie I'm talking about. It has Mark Hamill in it, and he plays a police officer. And granted, I love Mark Hamill. So, of course, I remember that Mark Hamill was in that. But the biggest thing I remembered was that he was playing a police officer.
That's funny. I don't think I saw that movie because I don't remember seeing him. If I did, it was a long time ago. Is it like something that came out like after he did the Star Wars and he kind of like was out of
It was after that. It's an older movie, but with a lot of those things, especially with certain people, you have to be careful what things you mention and what you say. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Have to look that up.
You could just Google it and say, Mark Hamill is a cop, and it'll come right up with the name. I just didn't want to say it. In fact, it's actually a good movie. It's low budget, but it's a good movie.
He did a string of B movies. No, not at all. But I'm interested now, and I am also a Mark Hamill fan, so I'll have to check that out.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm sure you'll like it. I mean, his part is small, but the rest of the movie is good enough that it makes the whole thing worth it. Because, since you're one of his fans, he's with another police officer, and they walk into this place, and they're looking for something, and then they get spooked, and it's actually kind of funny when you watch.
Oh, great.
Yeah, hopefully they didn't cut stuff out, because I saw the original where the whole scene's in it. And I know that since the original came out, they have reduced that scene somewhat in some places they have reduced it.
Don't know. One of those.
Yeah, one of those. So moving on. Now, I picked this one to talk about just because I like the name of it. An Ex-Hooker's Christmas Carol.
I'm so glad you picked that one, because that's like one of the favorite movies that I ever worked on. And it was actually one of Sharky Video's movies. So it was, even though Love is a Stranger was our first feature as a company, Sharky Video wrote An Ex-Hooker's Christmas Carol. We wrote that before Love is a Stranger, so it was really supposed to be our first feature, and it was a fantasy comedy. And I got so tired of doing horror movies for Wave that I was just dying to do something different. And An Ex-Hooker's Christmas Carol, that was the first thing on my plate. So that was shot in 1994, and I didn't realize I would be able to do the movie until I met Laura Giglio, who stars in the movie as the main character. I was working with her on another Wave movie, and we hit it off on the set, and I started talking to her about this comedy I was writing, and I just realized, after working for her the first time, that she actually worked in theater, and she did a lot of comedy on stage, and then she was exactly what I had envisioned for the part of Millie, who was the title character in the movie. So, we instantly became friends, and she agreed to play the part, and then I realized, okay, well, if I got my star, I got my movie. So, I got a lot of other friends I knew in the business, some who weren't even actors, some who were actors. So I assembled my cast, and we actually started having rehearsals in 1994 as well. And, we had it finished by 1995, but we shot some really horrible conditions because a lot of it took place outside in actual snow. So I think the first day of shooting, it was like 5 degrees below zero, and we all remember like freezing, and the camera kept freezing up. It was shot on full-size VHS, and what a blast we had shooting it, though. That was a really horrible day to shoot it for the first day, but a lot of fun because I had so many great friends to work with on it, and we were doing a comedy, and we were just laughing the entire time. So it was, such a blast to make.
And didn't you play a police officer in that too?
I did. I played three parts in that. And my friend Tim also played three because we realized we had, during the course of pre-production, we had cast changes and we just could not get it. There was a couple roles we just could not fill. And that was the role of the pimp and his transvestite hooker. And no one wanted to play these parts, or for whatever reason, it just didn't work out. So Tim and I actually, Tim plays the lead male role, which is Keith, who is he's kind of a mentally challenged man that Millie, the ex-hooker, is assigned to look after as part of her probation. So Tim already had a starring role. I was already playing the cop, who was kind of like a secondary role in the movie, but we still needed a pimp and we needed a transvestite hooker. So Tim actually ended up playing the pimp as well, and I ended up playing the transvestite hooker. So. And then I also played the part of one of the other residents of this home for mentally challenged young men. I played another man named Mr. Sims. So, I played three parts.
Interesting. So let me ask you about the same movie, Ex-Hooker's Christmas Carol. Now, obviously, I know what it's about because it's, a Christmas Carol like that. But did you do it as a comedy or a drama or almost horror, or how did you present it?
No, it's funny that you said that because I actually envisioned it as two different movies when I first wrote it. I actually wrote a second one, which was more of a horror / comedy. And I was struggling as to which movie I was going to make because the second script was called An Ex-Hooker's Christmas Nightmare. And it was basically the same premise, but only in the second movie, the pimp was actually a vampire, and he was trying to turn his hookers into vampires and trying to get his ex-hookers back with the use of his vampire, assistants or whatever you want to call them, his hookers, who were already vampires. And that's pretty much how that went. But I never made that movie. Of course, I ended up making the comedy fantasy version instead. And it was basically kind of originally like a romantic comedy fantasy-like. Very edgy, though. A lot of harsh language and, sexual situations in the movie, but no real sex or nudity, not like, you know, some people expected. I think some people were disappointed for that reason. I had a couple critics complain that I didn't have, you know, any nudity in it or enough sex. I also had people complain that I had too much sex, which, you know, the sex scenes were really more comical than anything else. It wasn't like, you know, watching one of these horror movies, you know, and a couple kids having sex. It wasn't like that at all. It was really done in more of a, you know, comical style. And like when you see the movie, hopefully you'll get a chance to see that one. You'll see what I mean. But we actually are re-releasing that. It's this year marks its 25th anniversary, so I'm re-releasing. I don't know if you've seen any of my posts on Facebook, but I'm re-releasing it on VHS just in a limited capacity. I did a special 25th anniversary edition of the movie, so that's actually going to be released next month.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Yeah, I'll have to be looking into that because I don't know how I've missed that, but I haven't seen that one. And that's one that I would like, I'm sure, because I like that kind of stuff.
Oh, great. Like, well, yeah, I would love for you to see it.
So let me see. What else can we talk about? What about this Backwoods Marcy? That sounds like that was a hoot.
It was, and actually that was probably most people, or I would say friends and fans alike that I know, it's probably their favorite of Sharky video titles. A lot of people have come to me and say, hey, yeah, I really love that movie. That's my favorite movie that you've done. And it's probably one of my favorites too. It's not my most favorite. I got to say, An Ex-Hooker's Christmas Carol is probably a favorite for different reasons. But Backwoods Marcy, as far as the horror movies go, that's probably my favorite. And, you know, at the time I was married to Dawn Murphy, and we worked on a lot of movies together over the years. And Backwoods Marcy was really her movie. She wrote it and directed it. And, of course, I helped direct and produce it, and we both starred in it together. So that's another reason why it was so special to us, I think, and why we, you know, why there was so much chemistry between those two characters, because Dawn and I, you know, were together for a few years prior to making Marcy. And it really, you know, I've had a lot of people come to me recently saying, you know, how unique it was. And I never thought about it at the time. I don't think either one of us realized, you know, back in the 90s, early 90s, when shot on video was really prevalent, there wasn't too many horror movies with a feminist slant where the lead character was actually a female villain. And that's what Backwoods Marcy has. You know, Dawn plays Marcy, who is, you know, this cannibalistic redneck type of character that lives out in the woods. And she comes across this city boy, which, you know, is the title or the character that I played. And that's how the premise begins. She basically captures me and does all kinds of bad things to me out in the woods. And it's kind of like a cat and mouse game. You know, once she captures me, the whole movie is that me trying to escape and her catching me and what she does to punish me. And she's phenomenal in it. I mean, everybody raves to this day, you know, that sees the movie about her performance. And just, you know, I really think this is definitely her best work that she's ever done. And I think it's what people most remember her for as well.
Well, it sounds good to me. I'm going to have to check that one out, too. Because I like Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. What do you like? You tell me first.
Oh, well, I was just going to say that I like stuff like that. Not that I enjoy seeing men get hurt.
Right.
There's just so many of the ones that do it to women, where it's a guy doing what she did to you in that movie. And there's like thousands of them. And I get sick of seeing that. I want to see it happen to a guy of a woman doing it to him. That I like stuff. Some people think I'm sick for thinking that, and I tell them, because it's usually a guy that says it, oh, but it's okay for you to want to see a guy doing it to a woman.
Right, right. No, I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah, and it's a movie, so it's not like I really want to see that. It's a movie.
Right. That's yeah, well, I think that's...
Nudist.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
No, you go ahead this time. You go ahead.
No, so I'm agreeing with you, though. I think Dawn, you know, thought about that while she was writing it, because she was... I mean, we had done so many movies for Wave like that, where the guy was doing all these terrible things to women, and I know that was on her mind when she was writing the story, you know, and I did help, you know, give her ideas to craft the script, and she actually did her own effects makeup too, which made it even more wonderful because she is such a multi-talented artist, and yeah, it just is a real special movie for both of us, and you know, I think you'll probably enjoy it, you know, just for that reason, because of the slant. It's a different, you know, it was probably different than anything else that we had ever seen back in, you know, during those times. And like I said, very, very few low budget movies had a female villain, you know. And so now I look back on it and people have come to me and say, wow, you know, you really did something unique back then. And I really didn't realize it at the time how unique it was, but I'm realizing it more now. And I don't know if you know Russ Snyder of Saturn's Core Audio and Video, but he is kind of a connoisseur of everything shot on video. And he kind of brought these titles of mine back into the limelight. And Marcy was a big one. We had a huge screening of it at a drive-in theater in the Poconos called the Mahoning Drive-In Theater, which is it's getting a lot of notoriety because they're one of the only drive-in theaters around that are still showing movies in true 35mm, you know, at the drive-ins. And mm-hmm. Marcy, back with Marcy, was part of their VHS Fest lineup that they had 2 years ago. So what a thrill for me to have a movie play at a drive-in theater in front of hundreds of people. It was just such a surreal experience. I can't even begin to describe, but I owe that to Ross Snyder, who, you know, brought these movies back, you know, that I thought were long forgotten, and really just started promoting the hell out of them. And Back with Marcy was, you know, probably his favorite of mine. So, yeah, it's definitely one, you know, I think you should check out too.
Yeah, I had heard about it, but I never got a chance to see it. You know how that is. There's so many movies that you want to see them, you don't get a chance to see them. I mean, that happens even with movies now. There's movies I want to see, and I don't get a chance to see them. But
not only that, but they're hard to find, too. Like, my movies are hard to find. I don't have, like, major distributors out there, and they're not available online, so... You know, they usually only come around whenever there's like a special engagement. And then like what I'm doing with the X-Hooker movie, the 25th anniversary. So they're definitely getting easier to find now because of Ross Snyder is bringing them back into the, you know, into the hands of the fans. And he's making them help making them more available. But yeah, I know what you're saying. There's so many movies I want to see, and it's just, it's hard to find the time. It really is.
Yeah, I have heard of him, and I think that it's great that he does that because there are so many movies that people would never have seen. He didn't do what he did. Because like with putting that movie that you just talked about, The Backwoods Marcy, putting that in a drive-in theater, because most people, they're not thinking about how old it is, because I know I've gone to a theater to see old movies, and I didn't care that they were old. I just wanted to see them on my big screen. So they see that, and they think, ooh, that's a good movie. I want to get a copy of that. And that's usually how that happens. You see it on the big screen, you realize you want it, but except for the ones that aren't on the screen that go straight to video.
Right.
And those aren't all bad either. Lots of straight to video movies are really actually very, very good movies.
Absolutely.
So how about if we talk about, because we got a little under 20 minutes left, so we still got quite a bit of time.
Great.
How about Into the Woods? What about that? Because I'm not even sure what that's about, other than somebody going into the woods.
Well, you know, I haven't seen it in quite a few years, but that is actually one of Phil Herman's movies that was under his Falcon Video company.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually played a cameo in that movie. I do remember it, but it's a really small part. I basically a friend of his that he calls a couple times on the phone, and we have a conversation about his character, and I can't remember the whole thing, but I thought there's like a lot of dream sequencing of this woman in the woods, and I don't know if it's supposed to be his girlfriend or what. I just can't remember. It's been so long. I apologize, but it is a very intriguing story, and it's got, you know, quite a following from what I understand. And Phil, I'm a big fan of his work, and we've been, I have to say, lifelong friends. We have so much in common. It feels like we've known each other all our lives, but I actually incredibly can say we've never met in person. We've collaborated on so much since the early 90s, and you know, when around the same time we both started getting into doing these Chatham Video movies, that's how we heard of each other and got together and started collaborating on things. So we've never actually met, and it's a shame, because we, you know, we don't live all that far. He's in New York, I'm in New Jersey, but we plan on it someday. We've been planning on it for quite a while. But what a great guy. And I'm a big fan of Phil's. And Into the Woods, also on that page, is Before I Die, which is I had a bigger involvement in that project because it was an anthology. And Phil and Joel, who you interviewed earlier, I think it was last week, he also has a movie in that anthology, and Phil does a wraparound between the three movies that are featured. And that's Before I Die, that one, but that is one of Phil's actual productions.
Yeah, I love Phil. He's a great guy.
Oh, he is. He is. He's very good at promoting, too. I owe a lot to him. He's really put the word out there a lot about my stuff, and you know, I think helped with promoting all these re-releases that I've been seeing, you know, recently. And yeah, he's doing a lot for the indie and low budget world. He really is promoting, especially with Avail TV, and yeah, he's a great guy. He's very, very good at promoting other people's work, and he's still an awesome producer and great all-around guy.
Yeah, he is. So actually, since you mentioned Joel, are you going to be having anything to do with his the Greg Lawness incident?
I just got familiar with it recently, but I don't think so. I thought they were looking to release that this year, and I don't see me getting involved with anything else right now, because I'm in the middle of a few other things. excuse me, I have to drink some water here. I'm losing my voice.
Oh, that's okay. Go right ahead. I can talk for a couple seconds, because I know
Thanks. That
you got something coming up called Easter Bunny Bloodbath 2, or did you already do that?
Excuse me. No, actually, that's actually already done. That was a movie that was produced by Richard Maugg of Rickmo Productions, based out of Canada. And I did a cameo for him. And Phil, Phil Hermann also did one. A lot of B movie producers are featured in cameos in that movie because Richard Mogg himself is a huge fan of our work and just a fan of low budget video. And you might have heard of his two books, Analog Nightmares and Gift Wrapped and Gutted, which are two genre books that he wrote recently. And he's a phenomenal, phenomenal fan and author and a producer himself. So he just has so much knowledge about all these movies and all the research he did. It's just so incredible. I don't know if you have those books, but if you're a fan of these movies, you should definitely get these books. And he generously gave me a lot of pages, nice spread in both books about, my movies that I both produced and acted in. So I'm a huge fan of his as well now. Yeah. I see all the, all the great things he's done for us low budget producers.
Well, that sounds great. So go ahead and talk about these new things that you got in the works right now.
Well, my main thing, I'll tell you the main two things, I already mentioned, is Deep Undead. I'm real anxious to get that distributed. It's going to be released on Blu-ray, which will be a first for Sharky Video. It's going to be a much bigger release than what we're used to having. Ross Snyder is kind of handling this himself, along with a couple other people who I can't really say yet, but they are treating this as like a big, big release, and nothing like what I've seen before with the limited re-release VHS titles or DVDs, what have you. This is going to be the whole kit and caboodle. So I'm really excited about it. I pretty much have done all my work on it, so now it's really in their hands. But once it comes out, when it's finally released, I'll probably be promoting it, more. We did have a screening. It was more of a private screening last fall for the cast and the crew, and we had a few friends, and that was really cool. That's one thing that I will be doing more work on, I'm sure, as far as promoting the movie, doing interviews and such. And the other thing that I'm working on a lot now is writing. I'm working on my first novel, which originally I thought would be a screenplay, but I doubt if I'll ever be able to make it into a movie myself. But if makes more sense to write it as a novel. So this is the first for me, and I'm hoping that one day someone will actually turn it into a movie. I actually have talked to a couple of people about that already, because I would like to be a part of it. I just don't think I could, handle it on my own. It's actually a autobiography of such of mine, of growing up making movies. So that's what the book deals with. It's called Homemade Horror, and it's mainly about my experiences as a child growing up in a kind of a turbulent time, of my life, with family things going on, and how making movies was kind of an escape from reality for me, and a lot of bizarre things that happened along the way. So that's really what it's about.
Well, it sounds interesting because you've done lots of stuff, not just, as far as movies, you've done other stuff too. So if you want to talk about some other stuff that you've done that doesn't have to do with movies, we've got like 11 minutes. So if you want to talk about something for a few minutes, go right ahead.
Yeah, sure. I have a few notes written down, so I'm going to take a look here and see if there's anything I didn't cover. Well, I do want to say, I know we touched on this a little bit. When I started, I was very young, and it was mainly my father who took me to the movies, because I grew up in a very strict Protestant family. My mom's parents, Protestants, she wasn't allowed to go to movies or dances or anything when she was young. So when, you know, when I got old enough to go to the movies, that she wouldn't go to the movies. My dad would still take me, but my mom just thought she was disrespecting her parents, you know, so she never went to the movies. But luckily, my dad took me, and, you know, the more he took me to movies, the more I got interested in, you know, in making movies. And my parents actually bought me a Super 8 movie camera when I was 12 years old for 1 year for Christmas.
Cool.
And so that's how I knew that finally I would have a shot at, yeah, making my dreams come true. And so when I was 15, I made my first 10-minute short horror movie called The House with friends of mine who lived in the neighborhood. And we actually got in the local newspaper. And so that was a lot of fun. So the making of that movie and all the weird things that happened to us during that movie and afterward, that's a big chunk of what my book is about. So I did want to mention that. And what else? I actually, you know, I went to school for journalism when I started out, so I really, writing was my strong point, and that was before I started making these shot on videos. So I got so fascinated with doing the shot on video work during college that I decided that I wanted to change my major. So I got a 2-year degree, and that was all communications and journalism, and then I transferred to a university and became a radio TV film major. I think I might have mentioned that to you, you know, one of our previous conversations.
Yeah.
So I went to Rowan University for that. So that's, you know, I started getting, you know, actually an education in what I loved or what I always dreamed of doing, and that coincided with, you know, my days working for Wave Productions and starting Sharky Video. That's how that all came together. But during that time, I also did an internship on a live TV show, coincidentally, called The Video Makers. So that was another thing, even though it wasn't making movies. But I basically was a production assistant, stage manager, and I even co-hosted the show a couple times. So that was in the early 90s while I was attending college. And I also did my first commercial in that time frame, which was for a Pontiac dealership, local to South Jersey. And that was the only commercial I ever did. But I also wanted to mention something bizarre, and I'm kind of tracking, backtracking a little bit here, to the 80s. Before I started making these movies, I was auditioning for like extra parts in movies that were filmed around, you know, my area, South Jersey and Philly. I met, through a friend of mine, I met Brian De Palma's nephew, and, you know, she was trying to get me to be friends with this guy, hoping that I'd get an audition because they were shooting Blowout with John Travolta in Philly at the time. So I did kind of become friends with this guy, and he kind of said, well, you know, he's going to talk to his uncle about, you know, at least get me an audition, but it never happened. But ironically, I got an audition for another movie, and it was Hung Jury, and it was by the woman that set that up, which was my first Wave audition that I mentioned, was named Erica. She had a different stage name, but she actually starred in the movie Blowout as one of the hookers. I don't know if you ever saw that movie.
Yes, I did.
But she, yeah, I think she was the main hooker. She had red hair. I just don't know, like, what her stage name was or what name she used or what was used in the credits. But her modeling agency was called Erica, So I thought that was ironic because that was like my second very loose Brian De Palma connection that I had. And, you know, I got my first, you know, movie part, you know, largely because of her, you know. She's the one that had the studio and set it up and all that. So,
that's all very cool.
Yeah, so a lot of weird things like that. And, you know, I love to write, though. I really love all aspects of making movies, but writing was probably always my favorite thing to do and probably still is. So that's why I'm excited about, you know, working on my first book. And I'm not sure how much time we have left, but is there anything else you can think of?
Well, actually, yeah, I was getting ready to tell you, but I didn't want to interrupt you in the middle of, you know, a sentence. We've got like 40 seconds, something like that.
So
if you want, if there's something else that you need to mention quickly, and then the other thing I'd like you to do is to tell people how they can get a hold of you, because they might want to contact you about working with you, or maybe they want to give you a job or post.
Yeah. Yes. The Sharky Video Facebook page, the Sharky Video fan page on Facebook. That's probably the best way to get a hold of me right now. And that's how most people communicate with me. I do want to mention real quick, Mail Order Murder is a documentary from Ross Snyder and Bill Hellfire about Wave Productions. I'm going to be in that. I have an interview in that, video that's coming out. It's a feature-length documentary, so there's a lot of hype about that. So we're all looking forward to that as well.
So that does sound like it would be interesting. And actually, since you talk quickly and concisely, you still got like 3 minutes. So if there's something you want to say, in closing, go right ahead.
I'm just, you know, I'm very, very thankful. I really never thought there'd still be an interest in any of these movies. It wasn't until I met Ross in 2017 that I had any inclination that I would be talking about these movies again. Because you know, there was quite a few years where I didn't do anything. I was doing like custom video work for other people, you know, between 2009 in 2016, I did a lot of work that's not credited. But I really thought these shot on video titles were long forgotten, and then Ross opened my eyes to it all again. So I'm thankful that people are actually getting, you know, to see my work, and you know, it's nice to know there are actually some fans out there that I never realized I had before. So I guess that's about it. I'm really I'm grateful to Ross and people like him and Phil Herman and Richard Mogg and Josh Schaefer of Lunch Meat Magazine. And there's so many other people. There's too many lists, but they've all been a great help promoting my work.
Well, you've still got 2 minutes if you want to name a few. I mean, you don't have to,
yeah,
but if you want to.
Well, Josh Schaefer, absolutely. He was also one of the guys that set up Backwoods Marcy at the drive-in for us. Virgil Cardamone, who manages the drive-in, and he's a phenomenal guy. He does most of this work, volunteer work, to keep this drive-in going. And just, you know, it's great that he does promote a lot of his time to low-budget movies at this drive-in. And Laura Biglio, you know, who I've mentioned, starred in a few of my movies. And, of course, Dawn Murphy, who I'm still very close to, even though we're not married anymore. But she has always been a big influence in my life. And, you know, we did a lot of movies together. And, you know, she's not in the business anymore, but, she, you know, she's very well respected, and a lot of people are still fans that remember her work. So I did want to mention that. Still thankful that I've had the opportunity to have her in, you know, involved with these movies as well. And everybody else, Osman Kareem, who did a lot of acting and as well as composed music for the movies. And when you do see The Exhooker's Christmas Carol, it has a really great soundtrack, thanks to Osman.
Okay,
and
cool.
He's a very multi-talented artist, and singer, songwriter, everything. He does everything.
I'm sorry, but I do have to cut you off now because there's only like 10 seconds left.
Okay, you got it.
Thank you very much for being on the show, and maybe I can have you again in the future.
Thank you so much. What a great pleasure. You're an awesome lady.
Oh, thank you. And well, I'll name you a for the lady part.
Again.
Have a good night, Dave.
You too. Thanks again, Mac.
Okay, thanks.